Good morning. Welcome to KG News Public Affair. I am your host, Tish Buford, and today we have two very special guests in the studio with us. We have Olivia Gardner and Madison Rose from Never Again Colorado. They're joining us in a special in-studio discussion about the ongoing debate and advocacy regarding gun reform and legislation modification in relation to the school shootings that have been occurring in our country lately. And I know that this is a very passionate topic for a lot of people, and it has been emboldened and I would say elevated to a height that we have not seen in many years or decades by these wonderful philanthropists and activists. So over the next 30 minutes, we're going to be discussing their trip to Washington, D.C. to talk to our legislators about improving our gun laws and coming up with common sense legislative reform. So let's go ahead and get right to it this morning. We have, again, Olivia Gardner, and we have Madison Rose in the studio with us. Ladies, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
We're doing good. So before we get into today's topic, why don't you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you got involved with Never Again Colorado. Olivia, why don't you go?
So I'm Olivia, and I am a student at CU Boulder going into my junior year, and I'm studying women and gender studies along with ethnic studies and a minor in leadership. And I got involved with Never Again Colorado because it has been many, many years of seeing shootings happen on the news and on social media, and not just school shootings, but black men and women, and just the feeling that just races through my body of like hopelessness and a sense of despair and not knowing what to do. And so this was kind of a way to get involved and make changes.
Oh, absolutely. And Madison, how about you?
Hi, I'm studying psychology and criminology at Regis. And how I got involved, or why I got involved with Never Again, is similar to Olivia, is like this overwhelming feeling of hopelessness. And I think it's become this sort of universal thread throughout the entire country, especially with young students who are very vulnerable to gun violence. And I'm just got really sick of seeing the apathy from the majority, especially our politicians, not doing anything after mass shootings or the shootings of people of color. And those things cannot be ignored, but people keep ignoring them. So luckily with this new movement, it's finally coming to the light.
And because it's coming to the light, what do you guys feel is different about this movement of intellectual defiance and civil disobedience as opposed to the generations of people who've tried to address the same issue before you?
I think that the biggest difference is that people are finally seeing that this is not a partisan issue. This is an issue that affects each and every one of us. It's not about being Republican or Democrat. People assume because we're a Never Again that we're just a bunch of crazy liberals who want to take your guns away. We don't want to take your guns away. That's not our goal. Our goal is just to ensure public safety and to do that through change that will please everyone and make sure that no one's rights are infringed.
Very well put. And Olivia, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think going off of that, I think it's different now because people, kind of with the partisan issue, people are seeing actual stories and actual people and really seeing the humanity and seeing kids being shot. And I think also, I think social media has a big factor in how prevalent it shows up. And so you can't really get away from it. And so I think it's more on people's minds, and that's why we have this movement.
Absolutely. Now, things are a lot different. I'm about to show my age here. But when I was your age, we did not have social media. We barely had the internet. And with such social media vehicles such as Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, everything is caught in real time. How does Never Again Colorado not get caught up in real time, probably overreaching or people being a bit emotionally not centered, you know what I mean? Meaning trying to keep people on task and focus on the cause at heart without losing sight of having a healthy dialogue with someone that may not agree with them, or perhaps going a little bit too over their skis in trying to do the right things, but perhaps with a little bit too much eagerness. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that it's difficult on social media because you do have a lot of trolls and a lot of people just wanting to attack, just not even listening to your side whatsoever. That's been really difficult, but it definitely has opened up more, I guess, a more universal outlook on different issues. We're able to see other people's sides. I don't want to speak for everyone on the board, but I know me for sure. Like, I love seeing other people's viewpoints, even if I completely disagree with them. I just want to be able to make sure that they have a voice. But a lot of the time, there are trolls on the internet, and it's just, you have to ignore them. There's nothing you can do. If they're not willing to have a conversation, it's just not going to get you anywhere.
I agree with that. And Olivia, would you like to add to that?
I don't have anything to add.
She pretty much summed it up. Yeah. So it sounds like you guys are very mature young women, and you have decided to take on an enormous civic task that has been an issue in our country for decades, predating the civil rights movement. Selma, where people weren't necessarily being shot, but they were being hung and beaten and water hosed. And this is kind of a rebirth of that. Do you guys agree with that?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Okay. Because a lot of our civil disobedience started with teenagers, you know, in the 60s, you know. So, you know, for people who say that young people are too young or too naive or this is just kind of a mood, it will pass, I think they are truly underestimating the value of your knowledge and your wisdom and what you have been exposed to. And people don't understand on some level, some people, let me qualify that, don't understand how traumatizing it is to see violence, whether it's firsthand or secondhand. It is very traumatic, and it's like an imprint that stays on your brain for the rest of your life. You never forget it. So how have you guys been able to cope and absorb with dealing with this violence firsthand, and have you experienced it firsthand in your own lives?
Actually, going off of that, last night we had the vigil for Antoine Rose.
Yeah, the young man that was shot recently and killed.
And when I went to bed last night, I was just thinking about all, like, Alton Sterling and Sandra Bland, because those videos play in my mind over and over. And so I have to cope with it through music and being with my family and kind of taking a step back, and because it gets a lot sometimes, and constantly seeing that
it can be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And how about you, Madison?
I mean, I personally haven't experienced gun violence, you know, in my own life, but being in this movement, it can be very trying, and you hear a lot of stories that are absolutely heartbreaking day in and day out. And you know, I also listen to music, lean on my family and friends, and I watched, like, leading up to the march, I watched a lot of South Park, which helped me laugh and, like, get my mind off of things. But the board is incredible. Everyone on the Never Again board, like, we could have a really serious evening. We're able to put that baggage aside and, like, go out to a diner and just laugh for an hour and a half together. So being able to have that kind of camaraderie together really helps, you know, keep us going.
Oh, I love to hear that. And it's a healthy balance, because you guys are taking on a hefty social slice of the world, and you got to keep yourself balanced and enjoy your life while you're trying to advocate for others and for a movement in policy such as gun reform and legislative change, which is so enormous, not only to your generation, but to generations that are going to come after you. Mm-hmm. So can you guys tell us a little bit about your trip, and when are you planning to go, and what is your agenda once you get to Washington, D.C.?
Well, we're headed to Washington, D.C. from July 9th until the 13th. We actually hosted a town hall in, was it April or May?
It was April.
Oh my God. It seems like not that long ago. We hosted a town hall. We invited Kaufman and Gardner to come out. They did not show. The cardboard versions of themselves showed. They were not there. So we're going to go and knock on their door and ask them the questions that we wanted to ask them in person here. But we're going to go and take it to D.C.
Awesome. And in addition to what Madison was just discussing, what else is on the agenda, Olivia?
We are, so we're meeting with Kaufman and Gardner and Diana DeGette. And, well, Kaufman, most likely, that one's still decided, but Gardner and Diana DeGette, possibly the NRA, maybe?
That's in the works.
Yeah.
I did have a meeting with the NRA about going to the national headquarters. That was a couple, like last month, I think.
Did you meet them here locally?
Yes.
Okay. How did that go?
It actually went really, really well. We had Mexican food together, and she bought me quesadillas. But she was really nice. She was a really nice person. Like, our conversation was really open. Like, she listened to me, and I listened to her, and we did not agree, but we didn't fight. Like, we didn't have an argument. We're just like, oh, this is your viewpoint. This is my viewpoint. Cool. How can we work together to get some legislative change done for gun reform? Because she seemed open to laws like red flag. So I think that there was, if you just sit down with someone, they could have an open mind. So hopefully we do get that meeting at the NRA national headquarters. I think that could be really good.
Well, I think that would be awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the ultimate goal? You want to meet with Cory Gardner, Diane DeGette, the NRA, and
Kaufman.
And then Polis and Perlmutter.
Okay, Polis and Perlmutter. Okay. I had a blank there for a minute now. And you know what? And I have to say I'm embarrassed because I live in his district, so I should know his name by heart. So shame on me, you know, bad host.
We're all trying to race that.
But bad, I know. Now, I have another question for you ladies before we continue. Have you both voted today?
Hell yes.
Okay. I was going to say, if you guys hadn't voted, that's where you need to go as soon as you leave the studio.
I texted my family friends. I was like, hey, did y'all vote? You have 3.5 hours.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Now, when you guys go to Washington, how long do you plan on being there?
Five days, I think. Right? Yeah, the 9th through the 13th. July 9th through 13th.
Okay, so that's coming up pretty quickly. Are you guys driving or flying?
Flying.
Okay, how many is going from the Never Again board?
6.
Okay.
Board members, yeah.
So who's attending with you two ladies?
We have the president, Tay Anderson, representative from...
CD6. Ian Gaskins.
Ian Gaskins.
And then representative from CD3, James Coleman. We have Chief of Staff Charlie Jones. And is that everyone?
Yeah.
And then us.
And then us.
Yeah.
I tried to do math, but it didn't work out.
Yeah. Okay. That's everyone. Okay. So you have several people going.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And now, if you're not able to meet everybody, do you guys have a contingency plan in place?
We do. We do. That wasn't a question.
That was kind of sheepish.
No. We do. We are definitely going to. I mean, we have a lot of meetings secured. If anyone cancels, we're just going to show up anyway. We're going to write letters and we're going to bring them in case we can't meet with anyone face to face. We are going to hand deliver our message anyway. So we're going to do it one way or another.
I love it. And what is the ultimate goal? What are the top 2 or 3 goals you guys are looking to accomplish when you make this trip in D.C. in a couple weeks?
I would say to represent Colorado and meet with elected officials and representatives that do not show up for their constituents here and have repetitively shown that they don't stand up for their constituents. So we're going to go and we're going to meet with them and discuss and have a conversation and dialogue, not an argument, and make a way for that.
I love that. So if they don't come to you, you go to them. I absolutely love that. Anything else you want to add to that, Madison?
I mean, that pretty much summed it up perfectly. Opening up that line of dialogue is so important, and hopefully if we get all those meetings, that people will see we're not scary. The NRA thought that we were a violent group, and we're not. We're like the literal opposite. I walk around ants on the sidewalks. I don't want to squish them. Like, I'm a very, like, gentle person. So I just hope that people who are not necessarily Democrats, who really know us, Republicans, who may be a little bit, I guess, wary of us, won't be wary of us. Mm-hmm. They want to work with us.
I love hearing that. Now, did she say why the woman that you were meeting from the NRA, why she had this perception or preconceived notion that you guys were somehow violent?
There must be some kind of NRA propaganda on NRA TV. I don't know what. Like, didn't Fox News say March for Our Lives was the march against guns? Like, there must be something, some kind of miscommunication there. And when she said that, I was like, she's like, you're not going to be violent when you go to them. Like, what? Why would? No, this is like that's our whole movement. The literal, like, why would we be violent to make sure we don't have violence? Kind of against
precisely.
The whole thing.
It kind of contradicts everything that you guys stand for. And that is a great place to take a break. We're going to pause for station identification. And on the other side of this, I want to ask kind of a more deeper level question about that misconception and mischaracterization about you guys being these violent young people. And you're trying to scare people, which is disturbing on so many levels. Mm-hmm. And it goes to, and it lends credence to the fact that people take words and use them as propaganda to misinform and heighten divisiveness, racism, hate, fear. And that's exactly the opposite of what you guys are trying to promote. So I want to get into that on the other side of the break here. You are listening to KGNU Community Radio. I am your host, Tish Buford, and you're listening to A Public Affair. And today we are talking about gun reform and legislative modification in regards to tightening up our gun laws and increasing safety for our citizens, not only in Colorado, but throughout the country. And in studio today, we do have the two lovely guests from Never Again Colorado, Olivia Gardner and Madison Rose. So I want to go ahead and continue from our last segment here. What is the most disturbing misconception that you guys have run into besides the whole you guys may be violent, you know, characterization? What is the most deeply troubling?
I mean, the biggest misconception is that we just want to take people's guns away. I think it's scary because they don't take the time to just click on our website and say, like, that's not it. Like, it takes 2 seconds, or just like send me a message on Facebook and I'll change your mind. I'll tell you that we're not out to get your guns, that, like, I've shot guns all my life. And I understand why people enjoy it, and I'm for the Second Amendment, but I'm also for people not being shot. So there has to be some sort of balance.
Absolutely. And Olivia, what do you think?
I don't really know. There's the whole misconception of us being paid crisis actors.
Oh, yeah. I really wish they got paid for this work. To be paid
and
for this work.
I think that's, like, a really big misconception, because we are all students from across Colorado who didn't even know each other February 24th when we all got together for the very first time. And then 5 months later, we're creating this organization and trying to create change. So,
and doing something powerful.
I think that's a big misconception.
Didn't someone say that about Shannon?
Mm-hmm.
That she was a paid crisis actor because she's a survivor from Arapaho?
Yeah.
I have my opinion about this, but I want you guys to add your input. I feel that when people are scared of change, real change, they will prophesize anything to rationalize their hysteria and their fear, you know? So if it's child actors, you know, or people pretending to care, which is just the most insane thing I've ever heard. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can't manufacture true sympathy and empathy. And I had the pleasure of working with you guys, so I know what that looks like. And since the March for Our Lives has become such a worldwide phenomenon, how have you guys changed as people? Not necessarily because of the movement that has its own, on-ramp of emotions, but as young women trying to incorporate this in your personal life, how has that affected you guys at home?
I don't know where to start. I think it's definitely changed me a whole lot, just getting to know everyone on this board. And like I was talking about, the camaraderie that we all have definitely has been, like, I've made so many significant friendships, and that in and of itself is so, so, so important. It's just such a great question. And I always talk about, like, where I was on that February 24th, and then where I was, like, a couple hours after the first meeting. And it's such a huge difference. That's that one day. I can't even begin to describe it.
I completely agree with that. When I was driving this morning, I was thinking about February 24th, and I was like, if I didn't show up that day, I don't know where, like, the difference between where I was that morning and now in who I am is really big, and it's really complex to explain it, but it's, like, personally, and how I show up with people, how I show up with my, like, just being myself, and presenting myself. And speaking, like, I used to be really, really quiet, and now I'm, like, it's, like, there's always opportunities where I just have to speak on the spot and be vulnerable. So I think there's been, like, minor things that have shifted in myself and major things that have shifted in myself since, five months ago.
Yeah, so you guys feel that you both have personally, emotionally, psychologically have morphed mm-hmm. into a better version of who you are mm-hmm. or who you were.
Yeah.
And it's kind of scary because people don't understand what they're capable of until they're put in a position to be pushed. And when you react, usually it's out of fear and out of joy. And people reacted out of fear. And I would say another legitimate emotion is anger, which is tied into fear. And honestly, I don't think people saw you guys coming. They didn't see the Parkland students coming either. And what is so refreshing to me is that you guys have a perspective that we don't have. We had it, but that time has expired for us. And so you guys give us hope that you are just talking about the issues and you're trying to do what's right for what's right, not because it's serving anyone's agenda. And that is something that we are in desperate need of. We need a clean slate of advocates. And you guys are the best that we have. And I'm just so proud of you. I'm just busting with pride. And I brag about you guys all the time. You know, like, you guys are my kids. I have 20 kids. You know, that's why I'm so short. No, I'm teasing. But you guys, as well as all the young men and women throughout this country who are representing this phenomenal movement, are just beginning. And I think some people are assuming or perhaps hoping that it's going to die down and that you guys are going to go away. So my next question is, how do you guys plan to sustain this energy for such a worthy cause? Because it's going to be a long road.
I think just understanding that it's not just a march. It's not just leading up to something, like, big and, like, all these fancy, you know, media interviews and all these, like, you know, the crowds at the march. Like, it's not going to be all that. It's just, like, hosting town halls and getting the conversation started and having, like, small meetings, and it's, you know, tiny little things, like, chip away at it all. And knowing, like, you have to have some stamina and be in it for the long haul. And know, like, I think that this movement has weeded through people who were there for the aesthetic and people who were there for the actual change.
That's a very good point. And would you agree with that, Olivia?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely would agree with that.
So did you want to add to that?
Well, I think she ended with that good point. But I was also thinking about, like, to your question with sustainability, I think it takes self-care on the individuals and then as a collective being understanding of self-care and then not letting ourselves burn out and appreciating that.
Absolutely. And it sounds like between, you know, the board, you guys have a safe space to confide each other and just be yourself and not be judged and just be, you know, 24-year-olds and 22-year-olds. If you don't mind me asking, who's the older of the two?
It's me. I'm the mom.
Now, you mentioned earlier you were 24?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Olivia, how old are you?
I'm 19.
Wow, you're taller than me. But everybody's taller than me. You know it's bad when second graders come up to you and go, Miss Buford, how are you? And I have to look up to them. But the thing is, you guys are so mature for your ages, and you're just starting your lives out. And I guess I would like to add one thing or ask one thing. What is the biggest sacrifice other than time that you have to give, that you've had to give to this cause?
I love my family so much, and I feel like I do not spend as much time with them because I'm always running from place to place. And I would say my family. And, like, they know that I'm always there, but...
But you're not there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you fit in time with them? Do you deliberately make time for them?
Well, I'm home for the summer. So, like, when I'm there, then I'm present and having fun, and we hang out, watch movies, cook.
Awesome. How about you, Madison?
Yeah, I think I've unwittingly ghosted a few people in my life before, just a few friends. When I first started with Never Again, they're like, hey, where are you? Hey, what happened to you? Like, oh my God, I'm planning a march. Oh my God, oh my God. But since the march, I'm trying to get back into like a normal routine and seeing everyone that I knew prior to that. But also, like, I don't know. I think time would be the biggest thing, but I don't really see too much of a sacrifice being made because I love it so much. I'm not like, oh my God, I'm missing out on this and that, whatever. Like, yeah, like you do pay a lot of money in gas, blah, blah, blah. Like, it doesn't matter because I love it so much and I would do it no matter what.
Well, I love hearing that because, and then this is why we wanted to interview you guys, not to only, you know, promote this vastly important issue, but I want people to hear the sincerity and the passion in both your voices and your personas, and I want that to come through the airwaves so people understand that this is just not a passing fad, that it is a passion and you guys care about this, and that this is not going to just go away when the news cycle stops or the news stops showing something about it every other day or every night. This is something you guys are continuing to work on behind the scenes on the grassroots level with the community. What do you guys have coming up as far as other projects here in Denver and throughout Colorado?
We have the Racial Justice Commission, which I'm the chair of, and we're kind of in the process of organizing a forum with different organizations that are across Colorado that are focused on racial justice and social justice issues so we can work and collaborate together. So that's kind of in the works.
We have a bunch of things in the works that haven't really been announced quite yet, but I know that we have an election day sort of celebration rally November 4th, was it? I don't want to say an official date, but we have it. I think it's supposed to be like the weekend before or a couple days before election night, and we're going to help people cast their ballot and cast their vote and have a big rally celebrating voting. So that's what we have coming up, you know, in November, and just making sure that we get everyone's voices out there about the candidates that are coming up for the midterms. There's the word. We're just going through the primaries right now.
Yeah, the primaries are today, and they're in several states, including Colorado. So we got a lot going on here. Now, as you guys are fully aware of, there's been a horrible crisis with immigrants, immigrant families being separated at the border. Just real quickly, can you share your thoughts on that? And how it ties into something maybe Never Again Colorado may work on in the future.
It absolutely disgusts me and sickens me that families that are seeking asylum in a country that is supposed to welcome immigrants, and it is a country that was built off the backs of immigrants, but also off of such disgust, it just sickens me, honestly. No, I don't really have any word, like, because it's just like a really horrible feeling.
I'm with you. I cried, and my stomach was in knots for days behind it, because I have a son and I have a granddaughter who is African American and Latino, and any child of any nationality coming from any country with their families who are truly trying to seek asylum should be able to do that here in a humane, legal way, and help them keep their dignity. Madison, how do you feel?
I think this just harkens back to what I was saying in the beginning about having apathy. There's so much apathy running rampant in Washington. These people that make these decisions, I won't at them. We all know who they are. They have never experienced what it is like to have to seek asylum, to have to make that life decision for themselves, mostly for their families. If they knew even a quarter of the pain those people have to go through in order to cross that border, they would not be separating those people. They would be treating them like human beings and not like animals.
Absolutely. And what's in place now, real quickly, I feel, is social elitism. It's, you know, they had this movie. It's, you know, I'm not promoting anything, but it was called Drop Squad. And if you could drop some of these, you know, men and women who had a certain thought or a certain feeling about this, you would drop them in the middle of nowhere and say, okay, make it to the border in 20 days. And then wait another 20 days to see if you get in. And you may end up going back where you spent 20 days, you know, where you came from. So that whole 40-day journey is going to be for nothing. If people had to actually experience that firsthand, so many people would be so radically changed by that. Because people are very dysfunctionally comfortable about where they are in their life. And they have their views are so distorted because they haven't been holding to anything but their lifestyle, so they know no better. So to me, it's just economic and socioeconomic arrogance that drives this. And so with that, I want to just say thank you both for speaking on that. I know that's a little off topic today, but I wanted to get your views on that, because I know you guys are advocates not only for gun control and legislative reform, but I know you guys are passionate about human rights. And in 10 seconds or less, ladies, just tell me real quickly, if people want to find out more about your organization, how can they find you?
We have a website that's called, it's at neveragainco.com. And we also have a Facebook page and a Twitter and an Instagram page that's neveragainco.
Okay, great. Madison, did you want to add anything?
No, she wrapped it up fairly, very well.
All right. Great. Girls, you know, I should say young ladies, it was so wonderful to have you in the studio, and I want to thank you again for joining us. You have been listening to A Public Affair. I have been your host, Tish Buford, and I want to thank our guest again from Never Again Colorado, Olivia Gardner and Madison Rose, for joining us. And thank you all for listening. Have a wonderful day. Stay engaged, stay ready, and always be ready to fight for what's right. Thank you for listening, and have a great morning. Thank you.